Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Hope you're doing great today, wherever you might be. Well, we've got a lot of news to get through today. By the way, John Solomon is going to be here from Just the News. He'll be here in just a little while to give us an update on some breaking news out of Mar-a-Lago. We'll also give you a rundown of what happened yesterday in the primaries in Florida and New York, and some pretty exciting news coming out of Florida, and Lord knows we can use that. But we do have some breaking news at this moment. President Biden announcing that he is going to cancel $10,000 of federal student loan debt, and he's also going to cancel up to $20,000 for Pell Grant recipients. Now, I've got a lot to say about this, and I got a big problem with this, because what the federal government is about to do, we're about to borrow, what, $300 billion to pay for loans for that students took out that they could not afford. Now, the nation's federal student debt is $1.6 trillion. In other words, we get a lot of deadbeat college kids out there. That's all there is to it. A lot of people who are not meeting their obligations. And I got a problem with that. And I hope you do as well, because you and I are the ones who are paying for these kids. Now, look, it's very simple. If you go out there and you spend $100,000, $200,000 to get yourself an advanced degree in 16th century lesbian pottery, and you can't find a job, you know what? Get your butt down to the Chick-fil-A and work the drive-through. It's very simple. I remember many people in college working two and three jobs just to make ends meet. As a matter of fact, back in the good old days, I remember Grandmother Starnes telling me a story about how one of our relatives literally brought a cow with them to college so they could have milk, a dairy cow, and they would sell that milk. That was a long time ago. But again, you got to do what you got to do to pay the bills. But unfortunately, we've got a deadbeat generation. What kind of a message is this going to send to the next generation, Generation Z, that you don't have to live up to your obligations, that if you sign your name, if you sign an oath, a pledge that you're going to borrow money and then you're going to repay that money, that doesn't mean anything? I mean, at what point does the Biden administration come in and say, well, you know what? There are a lot of people out there and they were forced to get loans for houses they could not afford. So we've got to cover the bill. We're going to pay for everybody's house in America. What about everybody's car? What about all of you people taking out a loan to go on vacation? Maybe the federal government should step in and force the taxpayers to pay those bills too. At what point, ladies and gentlemen, do we say enough is enough? Now, look, I have zero sympathy for anybody who took out a loan to go to college, because nobody's forcing you to go to college. And as a matter of fact, Donald Trump, one of the greatest things that Donald Trump did as president of these great United States is tell the American young people, you don't have to have a college degree to be successful in life. As a matter of fact, there are plenty of people out there that are making tons of money being mechanics and welders, electricians, running construction companies. So don't tell me that you had to go to college. Nobody has to go to college. A lot of people just go right into the workforce. There are others who decided that, you know what, we're going to go and we're going to get ourselves, we're going to go to community college. again, it's a cheaper option for a lot of people. I can't tell you how many times people have told me, oh my god, if I had only known that community college, I could have gone to community college, gotten my first couple of years out of the way, and saved a boatload of money. Look, it's not my fault that you're stupid. Why should we, the people, why should you, ladies and gentlemen, the great listeners of this radio program, why should you be forced to pay for the stupidity of somebody else? Why should you be forced to do that? I mean, here you are, ladies and gentlemen, and I know our audience. We have a great demographic, and we know that many of you have been busting your butts. You've got jobs. You're responsible. You pay your bills on time. You're law-abiding patriots. You file your taxes. You pay your taxes when they're owed. You do what you're supposed to do. You live your life. And here you are, and now the federal government is coming in, and Joe Biden is saying, you, hardworking American citizen, you've got to pay for the financial stupidity of this previous generation, the millennials. Now, some of you may say, but Todd, these are people who maybe it's their first time ever, somebody's from their families ever gone to college. What do you say to them? You're just being cruel. Well, that's not true. As a matter of fact, most of the debt, an overwhelming number of people who have this debt, have advanced degrees and are actually in jobs where they're making a significant amount of money. So the reality is that the people, and again, we're going to step back from reality for a moment. Now, if you were looking at this story, you would think, oh, wow, that means that most of the people who came up from, I don't know, a lower socioeconomic group, let's just say your parents were dirt poor, you're the first person in the family to go to college, you would think those are the people we're talking about here. But that's not who we're talking about. As a matter of fact, the people who came out of the trailer parks to go to college and the people who came out of the shotgun shacks to go to college, those people are actually paying their bills. Now, what does that tell you? Well, it tells me that mom and dad in the shotgun shack, mom and dad in the trailer park, actually taught their kids right from wrong, taught their kids that when you promise to do something, you do it. You be men and women of your word. I mean, what sort of a message is Joe Biden sending today? The NAACP is outraged at Joe Biden, but not for the reason you might think. So they believe that Biden should have canceled a minimum of $50,000 in student debt. The NAACP, they're only concerned with the advancement of one specific demographic. They basically tell all the other demographics to go screw themselves. But the NAACP, quote, the student debt crisis has a disproportionate impact on black borrowers and their families. Across all racial groups, black borrowers hold the most student loan debt, despite also being consistently underserved by post-secondary institutions. I don't know what the heck they're talking about. Not only can a black student go to any school in America, they also have historically black schools. So I'm not quite sure why the NAACP is upset, other than the fact that they want more money. So I got a question for you, ladies and gentlemen. Are you upset about all of this? Does it bother you that your hard-earned tax dollars are being used to bail out these deadbeat brats? Here's what I would recommend. I think whoever's going to be running for president in 2024, this ought to be the campaign slogan, is that what we ought to do is hold these people accountable. If you have defaulted on your student loan, guess what? We're coming after your house. We're coming after your car. We're coming after everything because it's our money that they have squandered and, quite frankly, stolen. You put your name on the line and you promise to pay that back and you don't. That is theft. Just my opinion. All right, let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Shane in North Carolina, what's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. I listen to you a lot. Just want to give you a little bit of background. You know, I'm 47 years old, and when I left high school, I took I didn't know I did this. I was 17 years old, but I had paid a loan in for student loans at a college in Georgia to play baseball. Now, back then, you didn't get any type of regulation of what's going to happen to you in 20 years. Because you went to school to have fun, to learn, to play ball. You know, you did those type of things. No one told you when you went into college that 20 years from now you're going to owe $45,000 because you're 17. So it kind of falls back on the parents, like you said. But not everybody's a deadbeat. They didn't know any better. When you go to school, a lot of people just go to school to get away from home. They want to get away, learn something new, meet new people, play ball, do things like that. But see, the thing that bothers me the most is that, yes, you can call them deadbeats if you want to, but these colleges make millions and millions of dollars. So why not teach the first year you walk into school, like you teach English 101, teach them, hey, listen, you're going to be in debt for this for a very long time if you don't get ahead of it. Credit cards are going to come in your mail every single day as soon as you turn 18 years old, and they're going to be free. And you're going to open them, and you're going to spend $500 on crap that you'll never use the rest of your life. But then you owe it. You owe it all back. But no one teaches you that. Nowadays, kids can get away with it a little longer. But it's always funny that the government gets away with giving millions and millions and millions of dollars to Harvard and all these colleges who are worth billions of dollars. And they still get all this money. And you've got to do all this forever. So it takes a long time for people to get past it. When all you had to do is just teach them.
Shane, look, here's how I think about colleges and universities. It's like going to Las Vegas and walking into a casino thinking that you're going to walk out of there a multimillionaire. It's a joke. They're there to take your money, and they're there to scam you. And that's what many of these public universities are doing right now. They're scamming
people. The other part is that it's like now as I'm 47 years old. So if I was at that age and I never had a credit card in my life, I never had anything mailed to me that was free. All I do is just call the 1-800 number and I got $500. If the colleges would teach you, listen, don't do this unless you're ready for the repercussions. If you're not, throw it in the trash can and just stay on your path. And do the thing that you came to school to do. But if you don't want to go to school to do that, and you want to think it's all free, well, that's your problem. But also at the same point, and I have to disagree with you about this, when you say deadbeat kids, I don't believe that. Because most kids go to college before they're 18. They only go by what their parents tell them, not what they know. They don't know anything but what they look on their phone. And half the time it's like, get away from me, go to school, learn. I hope you graduate, and I hope you become a doctor. But what? That's 1% of people?
Well, Shane, I'm standing by my use of the term deadbeat, and here's the reason why. So Brookings Institute did a study back in 2021, and they discovered that most of the people that are not paying back their loans are among the highest income earners in America. So these people are intentionally not paying back. They've got the money to pay back the loan, but they'd rather buy the vacation house or a second or third car. This is offensive to me as a person who is a small business owner, as a person who is being sucked dry by the federal government. And they're going to turn around and take more of my money to cover the loans of these deadbeats.
Well, my question to you is this, like, if I don't know how long ago those years of study you're talking about are, but I graduated college high school in 1993. So back then you didn't have any of this. There was no free loans on the internet. There was none of that. You just literally was told where to go, or you were accepted based on your grades or your athletic ability. And you went on to pursue what you wanted to do. You could be a baseball player, basketball player, whatever.
All right.
But at the end of the day, you didn't know that you were going to have to pay all this back. So nowadays, it's very easy to go and look online and go, oh, well, I can get $20,000 from here, I can get $30,000 from here, and then all of a sudden, it's all, you know, everything breaks loose, and you go, oh, well, now I owe $150,000.
All right, Shane, got to stop you there. Shane, stop. We got to run for a break here. I get your point. We do have to run for a break here. Look, Shane's point is, hey, look, all these kids, they had no idea they were going to have to pay back this money. Is ignorance an excuse? You all have to sign something, right? You have to. Do you read it? If you read it and you don't understand it, did you find somebody to help you understand what you were signing? Is ignorance an excuse here? 844-747-8868, toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
My friend Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of your life. He didn't stop by simply creating the best pillow. Mike created the Giza Dream Bed Sheets. They look and feel great, which means an even better night's sleep for me, which is crucial for my busy schedule. Mike found the world's best cotton called Giza. It's ultra soft and breathable, but extremely durable. Mike's Giza sheets come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. The first night you sleep on the Giza sheet, you will never want to sleep on anything else. Giza Dream Sheets come in a variety of sizes and colors. Mike's latest incredible deal is the sale of the year. For a limited time, you get 50% off the Giza Dream Sheets. You receive a set for as low as $49.99. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use the promo code STARNS. You'll find not only this amazing offer, but also deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the MyPillow mattress topper, MyPillow towel sets, and so much more. Call 800-839-8506 or go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code STARNS.
And just remember, a couple of months ago, Happy Hour Pelosi's out there saying Biden didn't even have the power to bail out student loan debt. And yet, here we are. All right, let's get to the phones here. A lot of you folks want to weigh in. Let's start in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Eric on Nuga Radio. What say you, sir?
How's it going, Todd? I'm a first-time caller.
Welcome.
I'm 34. I'm a plumber in Chattanooga. I don't have any student loan debt. But, you know, I'm just happy to see that some American people are getting some money from the government and not, you know, money to fund all the illegals that are coming across our borders. You know, it's just nice to see some people that, you know, that are good Americans get some of this help rather than the rest of the world, because I feel like we don't really get given too much.
We get the short end of the stick, don't we?
we sure do. And, you know, I'm not going to be, you know, too harsh on this topic, but I do feel like that. It's nice to actually see him help us for a change. So, you know, that's just kind of my hit on the whole.
Eric, you sound like a good man. This is a fair point you're bringing up here. I want you to give us a call back. Great first call. I want you to be sure to give us a holler back one of these days. Will you promise to do that?
Absolutely.
All right, Eric. All right, thank you, sir, Eric. He's got a good point there. Let's go to Craig, Maine, WLOB, the Big Lobster. All right, Craig, got about 45 seconds here.
Sounds good. I'll try and get in for that. How are you doing this morning? Hello?
Yep, you're on the air, Craig.
Yes, sir. So I wanted to weigh in on Shane's comment there, and that, you know, we go to these – I went back to college at 38, and, you know, we have to sign these papers for these loans, and you have to go through each paragraph and check off that you read it. And so it's pretty stated that we, you know, you got to know what you're signing into. And they're pretty adamant about it, too. They go over and over. With you, make sure that you know what you're getting into. So that I think that people are just being, you know, they just want the money for free. Now, I have to pay my loans back.
Yep.
But, you know, you have these people out there just saying, no, I didn't know what was going on. That's kind of a...
You got to read. You got to read till the end of the contract, Craig. I mean, that's common sense. Craig, appreciate the call. And I get it, Shane, but I'm telling you, ignorance is not an excuse. Not in my book, it's not. Hey, got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. We'll be right back, America.
There's no doubt the nation is facing a financial crisis because of the Biden administration's economic policies. Hi, this is Todd Stearns, and no doubt our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. Now, if all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It's real, physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold, and they can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship the gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Did you know $1 million worth of gold can actually fit inside a shoebox? Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. That's legacypminvestments.com.
All right, folks, hang tight if you're on hold. Don't go anywhere. We're going to get back to your conversation momentarily, but I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Always honored to have one of the greatest journalists in America with us, John Solomon from Just the News, justthenews.com. John, you have been breaking all sorts of stories about the raid, the guns-drawn raid on Mar-a-Lago. Good to have you with us today.
Honored to be with you, Todd. Thanks for having me join.
John, let's just jump right into this. You were the one who broke the news about these memos. You know, Biden early on said, didn't know anything about it. White House says we didn't have any involvement. But you found the memos that showed that was not exactly true.
Yeah, that's exactly right. From the beginning of this investigation in April of 2022, which is the flashpoint for the FBI to open a criminal investigation against the former president, Joe Biden, his White House counsel, were in direct conversations with the Justice Department, and even perhaps more importantly, they authorized the initial release of evidence that would give the Justice Department a predicate to go in and investigate. There is a letter from the National Archives that show the National Archives, the Justice Department, the FBI, and the Biden White House had a set of conversations, and Joe Biden authorized through the White House counsel the sending of some of the documents that were found at Mar-a-Lago to the FBI. Then the White House counsel's office conveyed to the National Archives President Biden won't invoke or recognize executive privilege for President Trump. There's a great legal question whether he can do that, but he won't recognize it, and the archives can waive his privilege and tell that to the FBI, and that happened. So the Biden White House gives the initial evidence to open a criminal investigation against their chief political rival, and then takes away one of the potential legal challenges or legal defenses that former president, the current head of the opposition party, might have in the court system. And the traditional news media can't come to grips with that. They're trying to find everything they can to write about this letter without having to mention that. But Joe Biden was at the ignition point. His White House was at the ignition point of this criminal investigation of his chief rival.
And as you point out in a brand new story that's up here, and I find this fascinating because I've been looking at Biden's administration as Obama's third term in office, and you point out that the whole legal path for the Trump raid was set by Barack Obama.
Yes. So this is a very important thing. So for most of the time since 9/11, for at least for the first decade after 9/11, the prevailing law, the prevailing executive regulation that governed the executive privilege of former presidents went something like this. The former president retains the executive privilege. He and the current president can choose to mutually waive or invoke it. But if the former president wants to claim executive privilege over materials from his administration, and the current incumbent president disagrees, the former president gets the final say. That's basically what the executive order did. When Barack Obama came in, he changed that dynamic and basically took the prerogative of the former president to preserve executive privilege and say, it's mine to waive. I'm God on this. The incumbent president's the only one that gets to do this, and I can waive or uphold the executive privilege of my predecessors. And nobody noticed it. It was kind of a little notice, a change, and among 400 or 500 executive orders that Barack Obama did when he first came in. That executive order was never changed. The Trump administration didn't go back, catch it, and change it. And so the reason Joe Biden can say, I'm piercing the privilege of Donald Trump is, Barack Obama made the change. He made the change, and that's the prevailing rule. Now, there's a great question constitutionally whether that is going to withhold scrutiny. The president can sign an executive order. Doesn't mean that it's constitutional. People like Alan Dershowitz, by the way, a lifelong liberal, a lifelong Democrat, who admits he voted for Joe Biden in 2020, would never vote for Donald Trump, says he thinks that Biden's piercing of the privilege is completely unconstitutional, will not hold up when it gets to the Supreme Court. So the fact that Obama changed it, Biden used it, we'll have to see if this gets to the Supreme Court and we get a different decision on it.
I mean, John, you've been doing this for a long time now. You know everybody inside the Beltway. What do you think the end game of all of this is? Talking about the raid on Mar-a-Lago, it looks to me like they're just trying to find something to stop Trump from running in 2024.
Certainly, that's what the Trump team feels like. And I think when you look at some of the statements that people around the Democratic Party have made, people like Mark Elias, the great Democratic lawyer that, you know, is involved in everything Democrats, from Hillary Clinton to Joe Biden, so he says they're trying to create a nullification strategy. We want to nullify Donald Trump's candidacy. Now, I do want to remind people of something. The Democrats have this theory that even if someone was convicted of a crime, and I'm not suggesting that's where this ends, that they can't run. But Lyndon LaRouche ran for president from prison numerous times, and the courts never stopped him. So I'm not even sure the legal theory that Democrats put out there, certainly historically, it hasn't been upheld or withheld. But if you take the Democrats at their word, we don't have to guess, that they're executing a nullification strategy to try to get Donald Trump out. And it's really interesting to me. If Joe Biden beat Donald Trump as handily as he did, why would he be worried about Donald Trump coming back and running against them again? You would think he'd want to do it. Something has made Joe Biden and the Democrats concerned about a Trump candidacy, that they're going through all these machinations. And I guess we'll find out what happens as history unfolds.
What do you think that is? What do you think that something is?
Listen, there is a fundamental transformation of the two political parties right now. The working class, those who aren't four or six or eight year graduates of college, they're gravitating to the Republican Party in large numbers. The Latino Hispanic voter that has been predominantly in the Democratic camp, moving to the Republican Party in large numbers. So the working class, the Hispanic class, younger African American voters more willing to be open to Republicans and the entrepreneurial free market side of the Republican Party. The Democratic base is eroding, and they're inheriting the elitists. But guess what? There aren't enough elitists in the country to create a national coalition to win elections in the future. So if the Latinos bolt as they are, if suburban women who left in 2020 come back, and if the working class has left the Democratic Party in a large way, the Democrats have a worry about the base of their party. They may not have an electoral base capable of winning. Now, we're going to see if that's true in the November election, and the voters will speak and we'll find out. But when you talk to Democrats who really do the counting, and you hear people like the former Clinton strategist from the 1990s, Jim Carville among them, they know their party has moved so far to the left that they can't communicate with enough Americans to create a majority. They keep warning about it. Now, let's see if those predictions come true.
It's a great, great observation. John, we're going to have to leave it there. We appreciate your great work, and thanks for staying on top of these stories the mainstream media doesn't want to cover.
It's an honor to be on your show. Thanks so much, Todd.
All right. John Solomon, justthenews.com. By the way, our former intern from Liberty University, Charlotte Hazard, Charlotte graduated and now working at Just the News. So we're always excited to see the intern alumni of the show heading out there and making a name for themselves in the media. All right, here's the deal. We're going to reset here. We're going right to the phones. We've got Dora in Florida, Don in North Carolina, James in Arkansas. A few lines open, 844-747-8868. Should the federal government forgive student loan debt? This is the Todd Stern Show.
Folks, there's no doubt we're dealing with a lot of problems at the gas pump, not to mention the grocery store, restaurants. It's bonkers out there. Inflation hitting all of us where it hurts, and it really hurts. That's why I started using Upside. It's an incredible app for anyone who buys gas, buys groceries, or likes to go out to eat. And get this, with every purchase, I'm earning cash back thanks to Upside. To get started, download the free Upside app in the App Store or Google Play. Use my promo code STARNS. Get $5
$10 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more. So here's how it works. You claim an offer for whatever you're buying on Upside. You check in at the business, pay as usual with a credit card or debit card, and then you get paid. In comparison to credit card rewards or loyalty programs, you can actually earn 3 times more cash back with Upside. You can cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Upside users are earning more than $1 million every week. That's probably why they have a 4.8 star rating on the App Store. So here's what I want you to do. Download the free Upside app and use the promo code STARNS to get $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more. That's $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more using the promo code STARNS. You know, I've been so happy that I joined AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens. And you don't have to be an old fogey like me. You can be a young person. You can be 18, 19, 20 years old. You can join AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens. Look, they're doing some incredible work in Washington, D.C., fighting for the Constitution and the free market. Those are huge, huge priorities in the Stearns household. But the other part of it, and the thing that I really enjoy, is you actually get to save money on a lot of things like cell phone plans, travel. If you want to go down to the Perkins and grab some breakfast, you're going to be able to save money at so many restaurants around the nation. So they make it super simple to join. And by the way, 2.3 million Americans have already signed up to join. AMAC.us/Stearns. That's AMAC, AMAC.us/Stearns. And you're going to be able to join only $16 a year. That's not going to be a budget buster. $16 a year, you're going to make that back in all the great discounts you're going to be getting as a result of being an AMAC member. That's AMAC.us/Stearns. All right, let's go to the phones as promised. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go to Florida. Dora on the line. Dora, what's going on?
Hey, Todd. I'm a first-time caller. And ever since Rush is gone, I was listening on the radio, and there you were, and I couldn't believe it. So I love your show, your sense of humor, but I love how you educate all of us. And thank you for being there.
Thank you.
I mean it. I just love your work, and I never caught you on Fox years ago, so I'm sorry I missed you a bit. I'm glad you're there now, man. We need you. This whole thing with Obama and Susan Rice, they can kiss my grits. As far as I'm concerned, Obama was the one that was pushing college educations back after the 2008 recession. There were no damn jobs. I remember him telling people to stay in school, and then they extended school loans. And that, you know, they're getting a 2-4 or 3-4 because they indoctrinated the kids in the universities. They hiked the prices in universities because they funded them, and now they're paying them off. This is a big corrupt payoff to their constituents. That's what it is. And as far as I'm concerned, I put myself through school. There was none of this garbage going on when I was coming through the pipeline. So I'm really pissed off about it from a number of standpoints.
And Dora, by the way, you did a great job for a first-time caller. You're spot on accurate. There was an effort, and it's not so much that he was pushing everybody to go to college, Dora. He was shaming people. He was telling people that, you know, if you go to trade school, you're lesser than. And that's one of the things I loved about Donald Trump, Dora, is that he embraced the trades. He embraced community college. And he said, you know what? There's something noble. If you want to be a diesel mechanic, you go be a diesel mechanic.
Right. Trump did a great job. I didn't always like his personality. As part of the working women's class, sometimes he was coarse. But I tell you, his policies were unbelievable. And, you know, when I moved to Florida, I moved here 4 years ago out of Pennsylvania. Oh, my God. I'm so glad I'm out of there. I am so glad I'm out of the North and out of the liberal rot that's going on and the corruption. I'm in the freest state in the country right now, and these guys are doing a fantastic job here.
And Dora, let me tell you, last night, and we're going to get to this in the next hour of the show. Last night, one of the best stories of the night, not so much the big elections, it was the school board elections where conservatives swept every single school board race in the state of Florida. What a great day in the Sunshine State.
I read that. I saw that on Newsmax. It was fantastic. That's another thing. I love Newsmax. I left Fox. I'm so fed up with the corruption on all the legacy media. It's like you can't get a straight story from anyone. All they sell is corruption. And so I'm so glad that you're a leading light there. And I listen to you every day. I'm streaming you now because I don't get you down here until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It starts at 93.6, and I get that in my car. But I found you on streaming, so I stream you now. And keep up the great work because you're right on top of all the issues. You're just right there.
Dora, you are so kind to say that. I got to tell you, you sound like our kind of people around here. I just tell it like it is, and you can agree or disagree, but at least people know where I'm coming from. And, you know, that's all you can ask. Dora, I want you to hang tight. Grace, Dora, I want to give you a copy of one of my books. Is that okay?
Yeah, I'd love it.
Sure. All right. We're going to send you let's send her a copy of Culture Jihad, How to Stop the Left from Killing a Nation. You're going to love this book, Dora, and I think it's really going to open your eyes to what's happening. And you give us a call back. We like the way you think here. All right. Let's go to Don in North Carolina on the talk station. Hey, Don, what's up?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. Thank you.
Good. Couple of things, and I was just thinking in the last 10 or 15 minutes since your show came on, why didn't the administration take a look at the students that have paid back part of their loan, like 20%, 30% of their loan are students that are actively making payments and say, as a result of your good behavior and your hard work, we're going to forego 10 grand or 20 grand or the rest of your loan? That would have been rewarding good behavior, right?
Now, that's a fair point, Don.
You know, if somebody is struggling and making their payments and has a $100,000 loan, student loan, but they've repaid $30,000 of it or they're making monthly payments, those would have been the students that I would say, okay, you're on the right track, you're doing the right thing, let's go ahead and give you a break. And then the deadbeats, which is your word, which I agree with, that are not doing it, go ahead and sick those 87,000 IRS agents on them and say, what's this second Tahoe that you've got? What's this $350,000 house that you've got? What's this iPhone 14 that you've got? And yet you can't make $100 or $150 a month payment?
Don, it's a fine point you raise. And again, this goes back to taking personal responsibility, but we've raised an entire generation and it's somebody else's fault. It's never your fault. It's somebody else's fault.
It's in no offense to Shane in Georgia, but I heard a little bit of that in his commentary or in his explanation of it's this college's fault for not teaching us how to manage money. It's the daddy's fault for not telling us that, son, you're going to be responsible for this loan when you get out. I heard a little bit of that in his explanation, and at his age of 47 fits right in there with this group. I mean, my wife and I sat in front of a stove with the stove open for heat in our kitchen when we were paying back our student loans.
That's it. And that comes from personal responsibility. I was a huge Dave Ramsey fan growing up, and I appreciated what Dave said, you know, talking about financial responsibility. You don't need a new car. You don't need a lot of new stuff. And that's the problem. People's priorities are all screwed up.
Yep. And we're just reinforcing the bad behavior
Yes.
by letting them off the hook. And when is it going to change? I mean, I understand the Mar-a-Lago raid. I understand the Inflation Reduction Act. That's just all stupidity politics. This is actually financial degradation. I don't know. It's ridiculous.
And Don, and we're going to have to let you go here because we're coming up on a news break. And God bless you for your comments here. But the broader issue, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll jump into this later on in the program. this is going to cause inflation to get even worse. This is a very dangerous thing economically that Joe Biden is doing. And why is he doing this? It's very simple. He's bribing the millennials. He needs those people to get out and vote in the midterms. But I think this is a bad move politically because he's miscalculating this. These morons can't even pay their bills. You think they're going to get up and go vote on Election Day? I don't think so. All right, hang tight. We've got Amanda and John, James, Pete in Iowa, Joe in Georgia. We're going to be getting to your calls, but we got to take a break first. 844-747-8868. That's our phone number. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
Live from the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Stearns.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, people are really fired up about this. I mean, they're saying this Biden student loan forgiveness plan ranks right up there with New Coke. A bad idea. Welcome to the Todd Stearns Radio Program, everybody. Good to have you with us. And very rarely have we had a story like this explode the phone lines. But we've got a lot of folks that are wanting to weigh in here on President Biden's decision, which, by the way, the Wall Street Journal, they've got a piece just out. And they say this ought to be called the Inflation Expansion Act. And the concern here is that forgiving, what, $300 billion in loan debt is going to explode inflation. We are heading down a dangerous path as a country, folks, a dangerous path. So we want to get to the phones here. Do you believe that we should be forgiving the loans of these deadbeat students? 844-747-8868. I want to start in Tennessee. Amanda, listening to KWAM, our flagship station. So, Amanda, I understand you've got a daughter and she's paying off the student loans.
Yes, we're working monthly. Our student loans got turned over to a collection agency because we couldn't afford the student loans. And when she graduated from college, our student loans were over $1,000 a month. And we had taken out approximately eight different student loans and had individual student loans for each semester. Got one place to deal with us and work with us and they were sold off to another company and paid those off. But now we're paying off the large amount of student loans and we make a payment of $300 and something a month for the next 15 years.
Wow, 300. But you're working through your, you know, you guys are paying off that debt.
Yes. And like I told Grace a while ago, I mean, I don't have a problem with paying off the student loans. It's the fact of the matter that you have to have an individual loan for each semester. And then, you know, that's misleading. Why do we have to have an individual loan? Why don't you make it an open-end loan and then turn around and consolidate all the interest rates together instead of having an individual interest rate and you know, ending up with $70,000-$80,000 of the, you know, which ours are low compared to some.
Now, and Amanda, what is your daughter? Is your daughter graduated? Does she have her degree?
Yes, she has an ag communications degree. And she is a wine sales rep now. That's what her job is. I mean,
a wine, like wine sales.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, we need to get her to come by the KWAM studios. She might be able to pay off all of those loans.
Yeah. One of these days, maybe we'll get there. We'll get there. But, you know, yeah. So she wasn't even able to find a job in her, wine has agriculture, but you know, it's still not what she had set out to do.
But again, Amanda, as we pointed out, and I shared these stats, back in 2021, they did a survey. They wanted to figure out, all right, who owes all this money? And by and large, it's people that are making upwards of $100,000, $150,000 a year, people who could afford to pay back the loans, but they're not doing it. And then there are people like you and your family, and you guys are paying back what is owed here. So that's the bigger problem are the folks in the higher income brackets that are not paying back what they owe.
Oh, yeah. No. And my daughter does not, and I do not make $150,000 a year. I mean, nowhere near making triple digits like that. I mean, so that's what is very frustrating over the whole situation. I mean, look, I have to agree with the caller that earlier, at least they're giving the money back to the American people and not stealing it and giving it to Ukraine or whoever else out there, you know, the illegal immigrants. But it's still, I don't, how were they misled? It's a loan. I mean, anybody with some decent common sense knows a loan has to be paid back. It's not a gift.
Speaking of that, Amanda, by the way, yesterday we didn't get, well, this happened just a few hours ago. Joe Biden announcing we're going to be sending $3 billion more in aid to Ukraine, to your point.
That is just ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And, you know, everybody said when Ukraine went into war, they went to war with Russia. Somebody made the comment one day, they said, you know, at least Trump's not in office. That way he won't be in Russia's back pocket. And I'm like, okay, now what are we doing? We're giving Ukraine all this money. And so who's in whose back pocket?
Well, good question. Amanda, I want you to give us a call back. And thank you for listening to KWAM. And we appreciate your good words. All right. 844-747-8868. Let's go to Arkansas. James listening to us on KWAM. James, what say you?
Well, I completely agree with you, Todd. And the reason is because, first of all, don't tell me a 17-year-olds are stupid. I mean, they got iPhones. My granddaughter has a credit card, and it's to teach her. And she's not even 17. It's to teach her to use money wisely. And, you know, when I was a kid, my father said, how'd you like to not have to ride the bus to school? I said, that'd be great. And he said, well, you need to get a job so you can buy you a car and pay for it yourself.
That's it.
and I mean, this first of all, this is taking money out of other people's pockets. And there's a lot of people involved in this. The parents are involved because the parents should teach their kids. They do their kids a great disservice by not teaching them that when you agree to something, you have to follow through. I mean, that's just the way life is. There's no free ride in life. You will pay in some way. I went to college. You know who paid for my college? Military. Because I signed a contract with the military and said, hey, I'm going to serve in the military. And when I got out, they paid for my college. I mean, there's ways you can get it paid for. You don't just have to default on it. Matter of fact, you can even join the military, and they will pay back existing loans that you have.
James, it's a fair point. And again, you're right. There are multiple layers here. Ultimately, you got to be responsible for yourself. Moms and dads do have a responsibility to teach their kids right from wrong, moral values. You sign your name to something, you take an oath, you take a pledge, then you live up to that obligation. And also, they need to teach kids how to balance a checkbook. Parents aren't doing that. They're just giving their kids money. James, I don't know about you, but when I was a kid growing up, if I wanted, you know, candy, or I wanted to go to the movies, wanted to buy a comic book, you better believe I was taking out the trash or mowing the grass. Money was just not handed out in our household.
It wasn't in mine either. And back when I was 14 years old, I could tell you exactly how many bales of hay I had to pick up to buy a pair of jeans. to buy a pair of jeans. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm just saying, I mean, they're doing the kids a terrible disservice. They really are. Giving them things.
It's a dangerous path we're going down because ultimately these people are going to be in charge one day. That's what I'm concerned about. All right.
Me too.
James, hang in there. Look, I had to bale some hay one summer. That was the last summer I did that. But I can promise you this, I knew right away I was not cut out to be a farmer. That's some back-breaking work there. I want to go to Pete in Iowa, listening to us on our live stream. Pete has an interesting observation. All right, Pete, what's going on?
Hey, Todd, great show. Quick question or answer is, I'm 69, my brother 67. I went to college, he didn't. I worked five jobs, paid 10 years to get my that. But what I think is, it's green-collar jobs, it's not blue-collar jobs, because you take 4 years to college that my brother took 4 years earning from the day he left college or high school. So I spent 4 years paying. His first year was 4 years earning. So that's an eight-year difference. If you now 4 years, $30,000 college, 4 years, $30,000 income, that's 200, you know, 40 times 30,000 be 100,000, 120,000. So that's times earn versus pay. That's 240,000. That's, you know, a $250,000 difference from going to college and to earn. And then, like you said, if you had, you know, goat yoga or pottery or candles or something like that, when you come out, you don't have income versus somebody that went to a trade that the first 4 years out of college, you have low paying income. And so it's sort of, there's an old saying that says, either do it. If you can't do it, teach it. If you can't teach it, get a government job. And that's sort of, you know, you look at a lot of these, you know, people, they went out to a liberal college, they get politically oriented, even if it's a community organizer like Obama, you don't have any jobs, you get politician jobs or government pensions, and look at these pensions that the congressmen get, that they get, what, $180,000 pension after 5 years?
$174,000 a year they're making, and every one of them's a millionaire, Pete. How do you do that?
I
want to know how.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, they should be financial advisors. That's what they ought to be. Pete, I got to run here. I can't get over the goat yoga, but that's actually a thing, ladies and gentlemen. It is an actual thing on college campuses. I tried that once, but unfortunately, the half moon turned into a full moon. It was very inappropriate. We got to take a break. But before we go, I've got to say this about something Pete brought up. Barack Obama never held an actual job. He was a community organizer. His job was to destroy and to cause mayhem and disruption. Barack Obama has never created anything in his life, period. Just a reminder, 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Out at CNN, media correspondent Brian Stelter to leave the network as it cancels his Sunday show.
Stelter's gone on CNN at finally dawn. All Humpty Dumpty ever did was lie. They canceled Brian's show, told him it was time to go. Good riddance, Brian Stelter, and goodbye. Brian's a lefty, and I don't mean maybe. When he got canned, he cried just like a baby. Reliable sources was a total joke. Had no ratings, cause it was so woke. Stelter's gone and his show's no longer on. Everything he told us was so wrong. Wrong on Russiagate, Hunter's laptop sealed his fate. Like Jeffrey Toobin, he held on too long. Stelter's gone, he was such a liberal pawn. Protected Hunter and Joe the big guy.
How did I earn my money when I was a kid? I topped onions, 10 cents a crate. You had to work your tail off to get 100 crates. That's 10 bucks. keep up the good work, Todd.
All right. Well, thank you so very much. And by the way, that was Philip from Daphne, Alabama. And Philip left us a shout out. And you can do that on our official live stream app. You say, how can I get that? Very simple. Go to ToddStearns.com, click on our live show blog, and you'll see the link there. And it is a free download, and you'll be able to listen to us and send us shout outs like Philip just did. I want to go right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. So honored to have with us the proprietor of TrishIntel.com. Trish Regan. Trish, hope you're doing good today.
Oh, I'm doing great. How are you, Todd?
Trish, I'm a little frustrated right now, to be honest with you. The fact that, you know, hardworking American citizens are going to be forced to pay for these student loans. It's outrageous.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. But you know what? We shouldn't be surprised. I mean, he's coming up on November. He's desperate. And if he can buy a few votes along the way. I mean, you look at the lack of engagement among young people right now. He's doing worse with young people than any other group, Todd. Well, here's something interesting. We have $1.7 trillion in outstanding student loan debt, which is just a travesty, and there's a lot of reasons for that, which I can explain. But it's awful, and it's more than the $1.3 trillion we had in the subprime mortgage debt crisis. So it's a lot of money. And 67% of that debt is held by people under the age of the 40. The exact same group, Todd, that doesn't like them very much. So I suspect that there was a lot of political motivation that went into this, and that's discouraging for all of us because it shows you really kind of how these politicians sort of can be bought and how they think they can buy votes. I don't think it works ultimately, but I think it was a very political play.
Trish, you are knee-deep in the economy, the markets, politics. There's a lot of concern by many of the economists out there that this decision by Biden is going to bite all of us in the behind very soon.
Sure. I mean, hey, why not, you know, put the addition on your house or start planning your vacation or whatever it is. You get $10,000 in your pocket. If you're talking about trying to rein in inflation right now, Todd, which is exactly what they want to do, then why are we giving away $10,000 to anybody making less than $125,000 a year that has student loans that they need to pay off? I mean, just think about it, right? Why are we spending $400 billion on this quote-unquote Inflation Reduction Act, which will do nothing but actually cause more inflation? I mean, you've got the federal government effectively trying to fight what the Federal Reserve is doing right now. The Fed is desperate to get inflation under control. This is not going to help get inflation under control. This is going to make inflation worse.
Trish Regan on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Trish, I think you're right about the political calculation here, but I don't think it's going to work. I mean, these people, they don't pay their bills. You think they're going to show up on election day? I mean, they already think the guy is too old, and these are Democrats we're talking about.
Yeah, not only that, he's actually not going to win as much in the way of favors as he thinks he will. Like, it's a talking point. He can get out there and say, I forgave all the student loan debt. Well, he was supposed to give $50,000, Todd. That's what they wanted, right? So Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren and the rest of them, they're saying, well, this is not enough. So it's going to be, what have you done for me lately? Let me tell you this. Not everyone should go to college, all right? And I say that as someone who's a big believer in education.
Yep.
And the value of it, but also a big believer in that you can educate yourself. And by the way, there's a lot more to do than just go to college in this world. I mean, the guy is a plumber who lives right down the street from me. He can buy and sell anyone in town. He built a huge business, bought up all the plumbing companies in New England. And the guy's worth a fortune.
Trish, we gotta leave it there. Hold on. Hang tight, Trish. Don't go anywhere. They're going to cut us off here. Trish Regan, this is the Todd Stearns Show. Welcome back, America. Good to have you with us today, the Todd Stearns Radio Show. I got to start watching the clock a little bit better. Poor Grace was like screaming and pounding on the windows. We got to go to break. So Trish Regan was kind enough to hang out with us through the break. And Trish, you were telling us a very important point and making a great point that not everybody needs to go to college.
No, and you know what? I think this is partly the left doing, right? They sold everybody this idea that somehow you are nothing if you didn't go and get a college education. Give me a break. I mean, just even saying that is so un-American and not who we are. And so Americans have been brainwashed into this idea that their kid has to go to school. And what I would just say is, first of all, let's all remember, you don't need a fancy cafeteria, a fancy gym, a fancy dormitory, a fancy, you know, Friday night club to be well-educated. That's what all this money has gone to, right? Because the schools have just charged more and more and more money. Crazy tuition, putting young students in debt, families in debt, and the government created this entire crisis. And now, you know, Joe Biden's got his little $10,000 Band-Aid, which really isn't going to fix the root of the problem. The problem, and sorry, I get fired up about this, Todd, because it really makes me mad, started back in 1965 under Lyndon Johnson, who had good intentions. He thought, you know what, everybody is entitled to an education. Everybody should be able to get one. You don't have to be some rich kid whose parents can afford for you to go. And we don't want banks looking at these young people and saying, well, we're not going to take a risk on them because, you know, they're young and that's what would happen. So the government put in this loan program. The problem was it was like no strings attached. They gave it to the kids. They said, here you go. You get a blank check. Go wherever you want. And the colleges said, thank you very much. We'll take that money. And they started relaxing admission standards. There became this sort of MO that you had to go to college. And it got kind of entrenched in our society in a way that discouraged, I think, a lot of vocational activity, which is still so important. And we are now left with the mess we're in. $1.7 trillion worth of student loan debt. I mean, it's really a tragedy. Some of these kids don't even graduate, Todd. They don't graduate, but they get all this debt. Or they go to some no-name place where they charge them a fortune and they rack up all this debt and they get a women's studies or, you know, philosophy degree. I'm sorry, but you're not going to be able to pay the bills with that. So it's a racket. The whole thing is one big racket created maybe with some good intentions, but you know what happens when the government gets in the way, created by our government. And now the government's trying to solve it by what? Printing more money? It's not going to work.
It's a great point. And Trish, you're all over this over at trishintel.com. We're going to leave
it. And the podcast.
And the podcast as well, which I was going to
answer.
Yes. What? Tell us about the podcast, by the way, because you have some great guests and great info.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, the podcast is there on Apple iTunes, along with yours, Todd, on Spotify. And you can go to YouTube. I'm there with the full video version of the podcast every day. And I'm digging in because I know a lot about this. And I'm going back to the history of how it all started. It's all explained. The reality is, college is not the deal you thought it was. And the only one that's doing well out of this, frankly, is the Democrat Party.
Trish, always good having you on the show. Thanks for being a good sport and staying through the break. We really appreciate your time.
Anytime. Great to talk to you, Todd.
All right, Trish Regan, everybody. TrishIntel.com is her website. You can get the podcast there. I do want to go back to the Patriot Mobile newsmaker line. And from Young America's Foundation, our good friend Scott Walker. Scott, thanks for hanging on. I'm running behind today, Scott. It's one of those days.
Hey, no problem. I understand. You know, this is not NPR. You actually have to pay the bills.
Yeah, you've got that right. And unlike, you know, it's funny, Scott, you mentioned that. One of the bees in my bonnet, as we say, that as a radio station owner, they're taking my money and they're giving it to NPR, which is my competitor. Always had a problem with that.
Well, it's a lot like the topic we're talking about.
You know, it is. And Scott, I know that you guys are working with college students, high school, and now middle school students all over America. What are you hearing from the conservative kids about this Biden announcement?
Well, they understand what it's all about. And it's interesting. We do polling frequently. We not only poll our kids, we poll all a broad cross-section, just a normal general population poll of college, high school, and and now we're working with middle school kids. And that's one of the questions we asked in a recent poll was, do you think the federal government should forgive student loan debt? And you can imagine, not amongst conservative kids, but just kids in general, a fair amount of numbers said they thought that made sense. But here's the kicker, Todd. I asked a follow-up question. I said, do you think someone who never went to college should have to pay taxes to forgive someone else's student loan debt? And the interesting response from those college-age students, as well as high school, but particularly college, it was interesting, that a majority of them said, no, that's not fair. And yet that's exactly what Joe Biden's doing. If you didn't go to college, or if you went to college and you paid your own way, or if you paid off your student loan debts, I think most Americans get that it's not fair to ask all those people to pay taxes so that we can write off $10,000 or $20,000 worth of someone else's student loan debt. We don't do it anywhere else. We don't with car loans. We don't do it with mortgages on homes. This is the only place where we say it's okay to take on more debt than you can pay.
It's the most bizarre thing, and I'm glad you brought up that point. There are a lot of people who did not go to college, and they're going to be forced to pay for the people who did that for whatever reason could not afford it. But again, this goes back to even a broader issue of what is the point of college these days? We had some guy call in, and he was making a joke, but it's true. You can go to college and major in goat yoga or, you know, feminist, lesbian literature. I mean, it's just crazy stuff now on college campuses.
Well, and you add to that not only these bizarre majors, but even for those young people who are trying to get, you know, legitimate career preparation here, they increasingly have to go there, and we actually give cords out, red, white, and blue graduation cords to students who are involved with the Young America's Foundation, because we said you made it through 4 or 5 years of liberal indoctrination. I mean, from the moment they get there, these kids going to school right now, just taken off to college, you know, the moment they walk in, they're hit over the head with genders, transgender issues. They're hit over the head with racial issues. You see divisions on many of these college campuses where they're putting kids in dorms by race. I mean, the things that our grandparents fought against, they're now doing on the flip side of things. It just shows you how radical and out of touch things are. And increasingly, it's a big question mark as to whether your kids should go to college.
It's a fair point. Scott Walker from Young America's Foundation on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Scott, we were also watching the elections last night in Florida, where something rather remarkable happened. You had conservatives sweeping those school board races, and now Miami-Dade is the largest school district in America controlled by conservatives. You got to be feeling good about that.
Well, that's one of the few positive sides of this global pandemic over the last 2 years, is that it awoke parents. You know, parents who, even good, decent, right-of-center thinking parents, a lot of times had been lulled into thinking, well, my kid doesn't live in this bad school district, therefore my school district is great. Well, a lot of these school districts aren't great. And so parents woke up, they didn't like what they saw. They either took action on their school board or they pulled their kids out, went to a private school, or in some cases they homeschooled. But I love it. I mean, heck, from what we saw in Miami-Dade to what we saw early this year with a recall of 3 different school board members in San Francisco, of all places, this is an eye-opener. And it's what I said last year after the Virginia governor's race, and that is, don't piss off parents.
That's it. And I think the DeSantis campaign, they phrased it the parents' revolution. And I think that's what we're seeing. And I can't wait to see what happens in November when more school boards, I suspect, are going to have a reality check.
Well, they really are. It's, in fact, Doug Ducey in Arizona just signed this amazing, the most consequential effort to fund students in that system by fully giving the parents charge. And he coined a similar phrase with that. He said, we have to be the parents' party. And I think those of us who are conservative have been yelling that for years, that put parents back in charge, get these bureaucrats out of the way, get the nonsense out of the way, get some sanity. And thank God parents woke up. Who knew it would just take a COVID pandemic to make it happen, but it did.
Well said. Real quick, before we let you go, I know we're coming up on a very important thing that Young America's Foundation does to remember 9/11. Tell folks what's going to be happening.
Yeah, YAF.org. If people are interested, if you're a student or you know a student, we do this in college campuses and schools across the country. On 9/11, we put up one American flag for every innocent life lost. So 2,977 flags go up. It's an amazing thing. In the 20 years since 9/11, we started about 2 years after that, we put up over 12 million flags. So if you're listening, your kid, your grandkid, your niece, your nephew, find out yf.org, how you can get them involved. It's a great way to kick off the school year. And remember, all those kids in high school and most of them in college were born after 9/11. So we can never let them forget what happened on that day, nor what the people who did it were trying to do in America.
Well said. Scott, we're going to leave it there. Appreciate your time today and all the great info.
Thanks, Todd. Keep fighting for freedom.
Scott Walker, ladies and gentlemen, president of Young America's Foundation, YAF.org. I'm a big supporter of this group, and they just do incredible work. And I've spoken at the Reagan Ranch a number of times, done a lot of their national conferences, just good people. And the great thing, yeah, the kids have a good time, but it really is about educating that next generation about what it means to be a conservative and what it means to fight for America. And they've been very effective over the years, the oldest conservative student organization in America. You just heard Scott on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. They not only share our beliefs, but they're doing something about it by supporting organizations that are fighting for us, standing up for the First Amendment, standing up for the Second Amendment, standing up for the pro-life movement. And I want to encourage you to check out Patriot Mobile and consider switching your wireless coverage. PatriotMobile.com/Todd is the website. That's PatriotMobile.com/Todd, or you can give them a call at 972-PATRIOT. Now get this, they've got plans to fit any budget. They offer great discounts, and especially if you're a veteran or a first responder, use my promo code. They're going to give you that discount and free premier activation, but you got to use promo code Todd. That's PatriotMobile.com/Todd, 972-PATRIOT. We'll be right back. Grace, did you have a problem with Facebook this morning? Did you notice your Facebook feed? There was some sort of a hack overnight.
I'm not surprised.
So apparently, everybody's news feeds were flooded with celebrity news and
oh, I thought
whatever.
You were going to say cat videos.
No, not cat videos, but it was worse.
Celebrity news is definitely worse.
I know, as hard
worse.
As that might seem, yes, I'm not a big fan of cats.
Well, they're still cute videos, though, but celebrities, they're some weird-looking people.
They really are. Very troubling. So anyway, but Facebook says they have fixed the problem.
Well, good.
And now everybody's getting dog and cat videos again.
The world is balanced again.
Oh, there you go. Boston University. I'm curious, Grace, about this story out of a Boston College. Is it Boston College, Boston University? Anyway, they have announced that you get to pick your own pronouns and gender. It doesn't matter what's on your birth certificate. if you identify as Marge, but you're really Larry, then you can, you know, identify as Marge.
Live your truth, buddy. Live your truth.
Now, here's the question. What happens if you take out a loan and you're Marge, but, you know, then you become Larry?
That's
Is Larry responsible
point.
For what Marge did?
That'd be a really good cover.
It's very strange. Very strange. All right. 844-747-8868. Let's go to the phones. Bobby in South Carolina has a very interesting observation about all of this. Hey, Bobby, what's going on?
Good afternoon, Todd. Yeah, before that sounds like a fake wrestling gimmick in Boston about no. gender.
No, it's the, I don't know what they're doing up there, man.
But this situation with student loans, it caught me all the way back to 1990 when there was a debate in Georgia. L. Miller was elected governor of that state. He promised a lottery for education, gambling. Then all the other states bought into this gambling for education. In fact, in our very state, the guy who eventually led the gambling for education push later was able to sell our state's energy company to Virginia and later became a news analyst for Discovery. That is CNN. I call it Discovery now, so.
Now, Bobby, this is an interesting point because, and I do remember this, Zell Miller, who was one of the greats, you know, he was one of those yellow dog Democrats, and he became a Republican and endorsed, if you remember this, endorsed George W. Bush and gave that big speech at the Republican National Convention in New York City after 9/11 happened. But, you know, he was... you know, he was one of the people that was really pushing what they called the Hope Scholarship. I always called it the Hopeless Scholarship, Bobby, only because, you know, people were being able to go, they were able to go to school. They were able to get these scholarships because people squandered their money on lottery tickets.
And now we have our Democrat gubernatorial candidate, Joe Cunningham, now trying to push sports betting for the children.
You know, it would be amazing if we didn't waste all of our money on this stuff, how much money we would actually have in our bank accounts, Bobby.
Yeah, but the point is we've subsidized with gambling so much of the scholarships what eventually happened. I fortunately came through college before we had gambling scholarships. But the gambling scholarships are an extra form of subsidies, just like the Pell Grants and other financial aid. So what happens is, when you have the gambling scholarships, everybody else pays more for the gambling subsidized scholarships.
There you go.
And that includes grad school. So
yeah,
how many people understand every time you see one of those Powerball or Mega Millions lotteries, what you're really seeing is the exact reason for the high cost of education?
It's a fair point, Bobby. And look, I got to run here. We're running late for a break, so I appreciate the call. But again, I mean, Bobby brings up a good point. And not this. This goes back to not everybody needs to go to college. And do we really need these Hope scholarships? Are we really comfortable with people losing tens of thousands of dollars on lottery tickets so your kid can get a scholarship to go to, you know, a state school? I guess some people are. Hey, coming up, we got to talk about these elections that happened yesterday. There's a bit of troubling news for Republicans coming out of New York State. And George Pataki, the former Republican governor of New York, sounding the alarm bells. But we got a lot to celebrate down in Florida, where moms and dads said enough is enough. We're going to be talking to someone from Hillsdale College. That's going to be a fun convo. 844-747-8868. That's our phone number. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 3 of the big show. Good to have you with us today. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Oh, yeah, here's that story. I was looking for this story. Boston University. So anyway, it's not college anymore. I guess they changed the name. They upgraded. Boston University now allowing students to modify their names and pronouns in the school system. This is all part of the Queer Activist Collective. Sort of like the Borg of the LGBT world for you Star Trek fans. The Queer Activist Collective, along with university administrators, have provided name and pronoun changing guidelines for the Boston University systems. Have you heard of this phrase, Grace Baker? It's called dead naming.
Never heard of it.
I just thought it was like calling out the dead.
Yeah, that's, you know, what you would think.
Like Grandpa Starnes or you know.
Or maybe like
George
my
Washington.
Maiden name versus my married name. The maiden name's dead.
Here's the deal, and I don't know why. Why have we been using Marge and Larry? I don't know
That's
why.
That's all you, Todd.
So So anyway, they've got a protocol now. Let's just say that your name is Marge, okay?
Okay.
But and you're born Marge, but now you identify as Larry because you're as big as a linebacker. Hello, my name is Marge, and then Marge becomes Larry.
Hi, I'm Larry.
So you know the voices. It's the inflection the voices, always changes.
Okay.
It's always changes. Anyway, they give you some examples. So they're very concerned about professors not being respectful of the preferred pronoun crowd.
That's a real concern.
So they give you some guidelines and templates for emails and conversations. You know, one of the worst jobs in America, aside from the guy that has to sweep up behind the elephants in the circus parade, is a university professor.
That's pretty bad.
You sort of kind of feel sorry for them, but then you realize they're all raging lunatic leftists.
At this point, yes.
So I don't feel so bad. But anyway, they've got to use these templates in the event they inadvertently mispronounce somebody. And so here we go. This is how you're supposed to handle this. Hi, Professor Brown. Wait a second. Why Brown? Why not Professor White? Oh, Professor
Hit. No, read into it.
Hi, Professor Brown. I noticed you referred to me using she, her, hers pronouns during class. I just want to remind you that I use Z, her, hers. That's H-I-R-S instead of H-E. How do you know?
So hard to remember.
How do you know,
though? You got to put some name tags. I'm telling you, everyone just, they got to wear name tags. It's too confusing.
I'd really appreciate it if you'd use these to refer to me. And if I had the professor, I'm like, well, you're absolutely right. I did refer to you as the female pronouns because you have breast and a vagina.
I have no comment. Sorry, you left me speechless there.
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, you know, you're in college. You can have those conversations.
I think I just would have left that email on read.
Another reads, hi, Professor Brown. Again, what's up with Professor Brown?
What's up with Larry and Marge?
Hi, Professor Brown. I noticed you referred to me as a man during class. I'm not really comfortable with being referred to by that term.
Oh.
And I'd appreciate it if you don't use it to describe me. Feel free to use student or person to refer to me instead. How about wuss? How about you pajama boy snowflake? How about you wisp of a man? You girly man, you're more of a woman than a man is, womanly speaking. You all right there, Grace?
Yeah, I'm just trying to catch my breath here.
All right. The guideline also advises against dead naming, and that's using a student's legal name instead of the name they associate with their chosen gender. Again, born Marge, identify as Larry.
Very simple, people. Keep up.
However, there's always a but here. However, and this is a big badonkadonk but right here, that attempting to change one's legal name on a diploma may hinder valid credentials for employment and licensing.
That's kind of a big deal. So what they're saying is you should just keep your name.
All right, here's another story. University of Arizona. A University of Arizona student, this is from the College Fix, Christian Schneider, the author. A University of Arizona student was reported to administration for attempting to get her friends to guess the word cotton during an online drawing game.
Oh, no, the Draw My Friends game.
Probably is that what it's called?
Do you remember that game? It was very popular on the iPhones for a while there.
I do not. I'm still working through Solitaire.
Oh, you're still on Facebook. I forgot.
Wow, that was hurtful. Quote, while she claimed that she did not specifically denote the race of the person, the witnesses claimed she chose a dark brown color for their skin tone.
Dang!
Maybe they were just tanned. Or bronze.
Oh, no.
Quote, she claimed she was only trying to make a historical reference and did not have discriminatory intent, but several members of the Zoom call told her the drawing was inappropriate. So what, is she going to get kicked out of school because she drew a picture of somebody picking cotton?
You know, I feel like Arizona is not a woke state, but their schools, they're in a lot of these stories, I've noticed.
Oh, they were playing, what was the name of the game you said they were playing?
Draw My Friends.
Yeah, that's not it.
A Pictionary?
It's called a Pictionary-like online game called Scribble.
Oh. I've heard of that one.
Very S-K-R-I-B-B-O. Who, you see, they're not teaching kids how to write. What does this mean? S-K-R-I-B-B-L.io.
I don't know.
Scribble.io?
Yeah, something.
According to one of the teammates, the student began drawing a black person picking cotton in a field because the word was cotton. The fabric of our lives, for crying out loud.
Just draw a t-shirt, point to the fabric.
Another student says it was very inappropriate and distressing. All of us felt deeply ashamed that a member of our organization would be so insensitive. Okay, may I just say something? I want to know who those people are because they need professional psychological help.
This is true.
That's all I'm saying here. The student was reported to the University of Arizona's Bias Education and Support Team.
That exists.
Also known as BEST. Sounds like the worst to me. Oh, sweet Lord help us. All right. Here's an interesting story from the Buffalo Bills. The Buffalo Bills reporters have a lot of exciting content to discuss this year. Whether it's the positive impact of their numerous off-season acquisitions, the elite status of quarterback Josh Allen, blah, 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 blah. So anyway, the problem here is that the Associated Press Bills reporter, John Warrow, was very concerned about the songs by female artists on the soundtrack. I guess this is a soundtrack that plays at the football games.
Yeah, and during the practices, you know, when all the reporters are there. Of course, they've always got music on.
So anyway, John Warrow, who clearly wears Mexican man shoes, wrote this on Twitter. He's wondering why the Buffalo Bills practice music never features a female act.
This tells me he's not doing his job if he's paying that much attention to the music and not to the football going on around him.
Unbelievable.
Everybody's so sensitive.
It's pathetic. This from the Daily Wire, speaking of insensitive and pathetic, Dr. Oz, no, I'm not saying Dr. Oz is pathetic or insensitive, but Dr. Oz is catching fire because of this ad. Remember the TV commercial where he said, "Hi, I'm Dr. Oz. I'm a regular person like you.
And I wear hoodies.
I've got to go to the grocery store because my wife wants a crudité." And, of course, we filmed and basically chopped up vegetables on a plate that nobody eats with ranch salad dressing as the dip.
Okay, thank you.
All right, there you go. So, anyway, he's catching all you-know-what because apparently the average Pennsylvanian does not know the definition of crudité.
Me being one of them.
It looks like crud. So, anyway, John Fetterman, who is the stroke victim who is actually beating Dr. Oz in the polls. John
Todd.
Fetterman. No, he's had a stroke.
Todd.
And the guy looks like, Uncle Festus? Cousin Festus.
Todd.
Look that up for me, Grace.
Okay, because I don't know who you're talking about.
2 days in a row, and nobody in our audience knows. It's the Adams family.
Wait. Cousin Fester?
Cousin Fester. What is Festus? Oh, that's Gunsmoke.
I was like, wrong name, but almost there.
This never happens to Limbaugh. Oh, sweet Lord. All right, so it's Cousin
Fester.
Fester.
Like Pester. Fester.
So Cousin Fester, and who is he? What show was he on?
He was on The Addams Family.
Really? Oh,
yeah.
It was The Addams Family. Well, who
that's
was the
what
other
it says
one?
On Google.
Who was the... There was another monster comedy show at the same time, and Fred Gwynne was the Frankenstein type character.
I'm looking.
All right, now I'm
sorry.
Oh, jeez, Alu.
I don't know.
All right, so anyway, Cousin Fester, who's in a hoodie and survived a stroke, could barely get through a 5-minute speech yesterday. Yes, Grace Baker.
Nothing. I'm listening.
So he couldn't get through the speech. The poor guy is like, he's not there. His brain was clearly damaged by the stroke. And we're not mocking the poor guy. But anyway, Dr. Oz's campaign did. And they're very upset about this. So the Oz campaign senior communications advisor, her name is Rachel Tripp. And she said, if John Fetterman had ever eaten a vegetable in his life, then maybe he would not have had a major stroke and would not be in the position of having to lie about it constantly. I'm just, it's a fair point. I mean, have you seen the guy? This, I mean, he's got the hoodie on, always wearing the cargo pants, shorts. He's got these little chicken legs, and he's a big guy. And clearly he is not well. But the Democrats don't care. They seem to think that they can run a stroke victim for the U.S. Senate, and right now he's ahead of Dr. Oz. Oh, let's go. All right, can we go to Patty, and let's go to Patty and Nina together. Can we do that? We've got Dina in Germantown and Patty in North Carolina. Hello, Dina and Patty. How are y'all today?
Good. How are you? Hey, Todd.
All right. So, Dina and Patty, just thank you for, you have called, you've been gracious for 2 days. I've been trying to figure out the name of that stupid program. So, on the count of three.
Hey, Todd.
Thank you.
It was the Munsters, and it was Fred Gwynne played Herman Munster.
You ruined the moment, Patty. I was going to say, on the count of three. Now, poor Dina's like, why am I on the phone? Why am I on the radio show now?
That's okay.
I'm having a rough day, ladies.
Hey, listen, Todd. You're doing good. You're in between two ladies.
Well, this is true. It's like I feel like a double stuff Oreo. I'm the cream filling. It's great. I think this conversation is getting very inappropriate.
Yeah, I know. Oh, Lord.
Now, Dina,
I've never met Dina, but I'd like to meet her.
Dina, you're in Germantown, which is where I live. We may be neighbors for all I know.
No, I'm actually in Cleveland, Georgia.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, that's a ways away then.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Dina and Patty, thank you both for helping us. It's the Munsters, and I know this is silly, but I don't know why I just had a brain freeze on that.
We all do.
All right, ladies, thanks for the call. Thanks for making my day, Dina and Patty. Yeah, we have some of those beautiful ladies in all of America that listen to this radio program. I am not kidding you. And I know that because we had a huge party over in downtown Memphis to celebrate the big anniversary. And I mean, people were coming, they're like, man, this is one of the best looking crowds we've ever seen. And I'm like, well, you're welcome. It is what it is. All right. Oh, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show. All right, coming up, by the way, we're waiting for President Biden to speak, speaking of stroke victims. We're waiting for Biden to speak about the loans, the student loans. We will dip into that when that happens. It should have already happened, but they may be trying to, you know, wake him up or something. We don't know. This story from the Gateway Pundit, California, pay attention here. Gas-powered vehicles are expected to be banned by the year 2035. So by 2035, all cars sold in California have to be free of fossil fuel emissions. Now, on this program, we like to deal in facts and reality, and I want to share some facts with you. So if you're ever having this conversation about, you know, with one of these people, they want you to buy one of those little metrosexual cars you got to plug into the wall, and they tell, well, don't you love the environment? I mean, you're driving that big, huge SUV, that gas guzzler, and it's just blowing a hole in the ozone. It's blowing a hole in the ozone. You don't care about the environment. You want us to all burn up, and you want to destroy the planet. So the next time you encounter one of these people, I want you to share some facts with them. And here are the facts. Those batteries are made out of lithium, and over a single year, about 60,000 tons of lithium means digging up as much as 30 million tons of earth. That's more than the annual amount of earth dug up to produce all the coal in 7 or 8 of the U.S. states. I want you to understand that. You're better off, environmentally speaking, with coal than you are with lithium. But it gets better. Because once you remove the lithium from the earth, well, then you've got to get it ready to go put into the cars. And how do they do that? According to Streets Blog, and this is a great website and is filled with great information, removing the lithium from the ore is done with the industrial economy's dissolver of choice, corrosive and toxic sulfuric acid. The developer, Canada-based China-backed Lithium Americas Corp., plans to acidify molten sulfur on site. It's going to require 75 tractor trailer loads every single day. And by the way, guess how those tractor trailers are fueled? You've got it, ladies and gentlemen, fossil fuels. So don't buy into this argument that those battery-powered metrosexual cars are actually more environmentally friendly when, in fact, they are not. They're the exact opposite. Just a little bit of fact, a little bit of knowledge here on the Todd Stearns radio program. All right, coming up again, we are waiting on Joe Biden to get out and mumble something. Also, Dr. Kathleen O'Toole is the assistant provost for K-12 education over at Hillsdale, and we're going to be speaking with her and also going over some of the good news about parents in Florida. They've decided, you know what? We're not going to tolerate wokeism in the classroom. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. Are you ready to fight back? Take back your schools? Give us a call. We'll be right back. Hello, America. Welcome back. Good to have you with us. By the way, we got to give a big shout out, Kyle, our audio engineer, and Little Starnes. Is that your second? That's the middle brother, right, Kyle? Yeah, that's right. The middle brother. And anyway, he's taller than all of us now, but plays football and scored the other day, and we've got the video on the Instagram. It's a pretty awesome thing. Scored the game-saving interception as the clock was expiring. It was great. People were shouting and celebrating. It was great joy all over America. Anyway, 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Hillsdale is doing some incredible work, Hillsdale College, and it's not just on the collegiate level. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We're just so delighted to have with us Dr. Kathleen O'Toole, the Assistant Provost for K-12 Education at Hillsdale. Dr. O'Toole, happy to have you on the show today.
Hey, happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
You know, before we jump into this, I want to get your reaction to what happened last night in Florida, where you had school board after school board, where the conservatives defeated woke candidates at the ballot box. And now Miami-Dade is actually the largest school system in America now controlled by conservatives on the school board.
Yeah, well, I think we're seeing things like that across the country. I think it's a sign of the fact that the nation is paying more attention than ever to what our children are learning in school, and parents are rightly saying, we have a right to know what you're going to teach our children, and we want to consent to that rather than have them have the students participate in kind of a new experiment.
Let's talk about the Hillsdale mission, because I think this is so vitally important what you guys are doing. And specifically, let's talk about the importance of having a non-woke education.
Well, here at Hillsdale College, the college was founded in 1844 for the purpose of teaching all who wish to learn. And if you look at early photographs of graduates from the college, you will see women there, you will see African Americans there. In short, we were committed to the education of all Americans from our earliest days. Today, we have a K-12 education office, which I run, And the mission of that office is to teach public schools, private schools, charter schools about the principles of liberal arts education, a well-rounded education. What that means for the study of history is that rather than approach the study of history with a specific agenda, we're going to read the documents, study the facts, learn the story, and then draw conclusions about what it means after we've learned the information. This is an approach to education that's scholarly, it's reputable, it's reliable, and it's the kind of work that we've been doing here at the college since our founding.
I love how you frame this, because at Hillsdale, you guys consider yourself a trustee of Western philosophical and theological inheritance, and that is something that goes back generations through world history.
Yeah, exactly right. This method of educating students, classical education, we call it, is not new. We didn't invent it here. In fact, it wasn't even invented in America. It's a tried and true way of educating students that used to be the way that things were done in this country. And we think that the standards used to be higher. We think that teachers used to be happier in their work. Students used to come out of their K-8 or K-12 years knowing more than they do today. And there's no reason why we can't get back to that for every American student.
Take us through what you guys are doing there at Hillsdale to specifically reach grades K-12.
Sure. Well, we're part of this K-12 education office. We have a private school here on campus called Hillsdale Academy, which is 30 years old. And together we provide guidance and resources and everything that classical educators need in order to bring quality curriculum and great teaching into their schools. All of the resources that we provide are free. We don't charge schools for anything that we do. And we do it out of a desire to see quality, come back into all schooling options. A lot of times we will work with a group of local people who want to see this type of schooling, classical education, in their community. And they approach us and they say, you know what? We want to volunteer our time. We want to bring a school into being in our area. And we will work with those local groups and advise them and provide them with resources and help. And if they're successful in founding a school, then we take on all of the teacher training, we provide curriculum, and we connect that school with a network of others across the country that are devoted to the same mission.
You see, I think this is such a brilliant strategy. And again, I love Michigan. It's a lovely state, but I'm a Southerner. I don't want to have to move all the way up there. But you're saying, you know what, you don't have to. You can actually start that form of education, that form of schooling in your town, in your community, in your state.
Exactly, yeah. And it's not a new thing. It relies on looking back to a couple of generations ago in this country. This is the way my grandparents, who are from Arkansas, were educated. And they were not fancy people, but they did learn to diagram sentences and write in cursive and read primary source documents and memorize beautiful things that are worth knowing in school. And they came out of it, well-educated people, even though they weren't academics and we're never going to be academics. So we think that this is something that transcends boundaries. It's something that should be available to every American child, and it's something that it's a high quality choice with which parents should be presented.
Well said. And folks can go to hillsdale.edu. That's hillsdale.edu for more information. Is that right, Dr. O'Toole?
Yeah, and if you want to look at our K-12 work specifically, it's k12.hillsdale.edu.
All right, and we've got a direct link to that on our live show blog. All right, Dr. O'Toole, thank you so much. We're going to have you back on the show. I think what you guys are doing is so vitally important to not just the health of the country, but really the future of the country.
Well, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to talk with you.
All right, Dr. Kathleen O'Toole, she is the provost, assistant provost for K through 12 education at Hillsdale. Hillsdale College, a fine institution. All right, we've got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. May I tell you about one of my favorite beverages of all time? It's Life Change Tea, and they're doing some incredible work. We're so excited they are sponsors of our program. Grace Baker, stop laughing at me. Why are you laughing? Oh, go stand in the closet. Go stand in the closet, in the corner.
I'm going.
You know what it was? After the Oreo comment, things went downhill pretty quickly. As Paul Shanklin correctly noted in a text message a few seconds ago. By the way, Paul is one of our great parody guys, and Jim Gossett as well, just incredibly terrific and very talented fellows. And they need to be drinking Life Change Tea as well. Folks, they've got a big summer sale. Buy three, get one free. It's an amazing, natural, gentle cleanse. And you need to drink this tea. By the way, it comes in three delicious flavors. Natural is great. I love peppermint. Pomegranate is also good. Life Change Tea, it's been around since 2007. Now, here's the deal. If you go to getthetea.com right now, type in Todd10, that's my promo code, they're going to give you $10 off plus free shipping. That's over $50 in savings. So getthetea.com, use the discount code Todd10 and the number 10, and you are going to be feeling great and refreshed all summer long.
Yeah, but they can never take it away from you. They can never take your education away. And I remember my senior year, I got into one of the little Ivies, and I got into a number of schools, and we're trying to get the money, even with financial assistance, to be able to go there. We had four kids, all of us wanting to go to school. And I remember going down after a baseball game. I went to a really good school up in Claymont, Delaware, on the Pennsylvania border. And I drove down to Newark, Delaware, where my dad worked at an automobile agency. And I walked in, and I had my spikes, and because the reason I was going down, when your dad works at an automobile agency, the great advantage, you get a new car to go to the prom, or a good used car off the lot. You think I'm joking? I'm not joking. And so I went down to my 51 Plymouth with beach towels for seat covers. And I had my uniform on, my spikes off. I ran in, and the woman's name was Mary, who ran the place. I said, "Mary, where's Dad?" She said, "He's out in the lane going into the repair shop." Give him my word, true story. And my dad was a well-dressed, refined fella. And I walked out, and my dad was pacing back
this?
And forth between
the garage door going into the repair shop
and the door going out of the showroom. And he looked up, he said, "Oh, Joey, honey, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry." And I thought, God, something happened. This is before cell phones. So something happened to one of my brothers or my sister or my mom or something. I said, "What's the matter, Dad?" He said, "I went to see," the guy's name was Charlie Delcher, who was a vice president of the Farmers Bank, which was a state-owned bank that did a lot of the financing of people wanting to purchase a car.
What's going on here?
He went to Charlie and asked to borrow the money. He said, "He won't lend it to me." He said, "I'm so ashamed. I'm so damn ashamed." You know, my dad would, my dad was like millions of parents all across the country. Want to help the kids to get to school, but there was just no way to be able to do it. You know, and because he believed, as I do, that education was a ticket to a better life. It's something Jill and I, Kamala and Doug, we understand deeply. I'm sure the vast majority of you do as well. But over time, that ticket has become too expensive for too many Americans. All this means is an entire generation is now saddled with unsustainable debt in exchange for an attempt, at least, at a college degree. The burden is so heavy that even if you graduate, you may not have access to the middle-class life that the college degree once provided.
Off-roading there.
Many people can't qualify for a mortgage to buy a home because of the debt they continue to carry. They carry it's too high. They can't come up with the down payment anyway. A lot of folks are even putting off starting families because of the cost. And the dream of starting and running your own business is just way off in the distance with the debt that so many are saddled with. Many of you had to leave school because the financial strain was much too high. About a third of the borrowers have debt but no degree, and worst of both worlds, debt and no degree. The burden is especially heavy on Black and Hispanic borrowers, who on average have less family wealth to pay for it. They don't own their homes to borrow against to be able to pay for college. And the pandemic only made things worse. But we responded aggressively to the pandemic to minimize the economic impact of the harm of COVID imposed on individuals, families, and businesses. You all were there. It was recovery. Look, we increased unemployment benefits for workers who were laid off. We provided loans to small businesses so they could stay afloat and take care of their families and their employees. We provided assistance to people to put food on the table. Remember those long lines you guys would all film of cars? Decent-looking cars, not jalopies, you know, nice cars.
Jalopies.
Just waiting for a box of food to be put in the trunk in the United States of America? Waiting for over an hour to get food in a trunk?
Because you shut everything down, you moron!
And we provided rent mortgage assistance to keep people from being evicted.
Pardon me.
And thrown out in the street.
Very unpresidential.
Our approach to help Americans who need it the most was necessary. And it was the right thing to do. And it helped people avoid financial crisis, which helped our whole country as a consequence of that. That didn't benefit them. It benefited the whole economy. Our approach is why America's economic recovery was faster and stronger than any other advanced nation in the world. Now it's time to address the burden of student debt in the same way. Working closely with the Secretary of Education, he's got the hard job, you know, Secretary Cardona, here's what my administration is going to do to provide more breathing room for people so they have less burden by student debt. And quite frankly, to fix the system itself, which we came in, we both acknowledged was broken in terms of, anyway. There are three key factors what we're going to do today. First, we've made incredible progress advancing America's economic recovery. We've wound down pandemic relief programs, like the ones on unemployment insurance and small businesses. It's time we do the same thing for student loans. Student loan payments pause is going to end. It's going to end December 30. I'm extending to December 31st, 2022, and it's going to end at that time. It's time for the payments to resume. Second, my campaign for president, I made a commitment. I made a commitment that would provide student debt relief, and I'm honoring that commitment today. Using the authority Congress granted the Department of Education, we will forgive $10,000 in outstanding federal student loans. In addition, students who come from low-income families, which allowed them to qualify to receive a Pell Grant, will have their debt reduced $20,000. Both of these targeted actions are for families who need it the most. Working and middle-class people hit especially hard during the pandemic, making under $125,000 a year. You make more than that, you don't qualify. No high-income individual or high-income household on top of the 5%, in the top 5% of incomes, by the way, will benefit from this action period. In fact, about 90% of the eligible beneficiaries make under $75,000 a family. Here's what that means. If you make under $125,000, you get $10,000 knocked off your student debt. If you make under $125,000 a year and you received a Pell Grant, you'll get an additional $10,000 knocked off that total, for a total of $20,000.
Yes, you just said that.
95% of the borrowers can benefit from these actions.
Okay,
that's
enough of this. We don't know what point three is, but we really don't care because we're running out of time here. He took a whole lot of time to say not a lot of stuff here, folks. But the gist of it is this. You are about to foot the bill for a lot of deadbeat college students across America who, for whatever reason, chose not to pay their bills, chose not to read the contracts they signed, and now you've got to pay the price for that. I don't think that's right. We're going to keep the conversation going over on the social media pages. Newsletter coming out momentarily. You can sign up for that, by the way, over at toddstearns.com. Get out there. Have a good day, America.